The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Cover the earth and gross darkness from the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. They had probably read that in the book of Isaiah and studied that and were thinking about that. But then they might have also read in the book of Numbers, which said, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and that would mean Israel, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. So these men had probably read these scriptures, and now all of a sudden there's a star in the east. These men also probably would have studied the stars. And now it would appear to them this star that hadn't been there before, and they would have tied all of this together, and they would have said, let's go and see what this is all about. So that was drawing them. It's like, it was the Word of God, the instruction of the Word of God, drawing these wise men to travel, which would have taken them probably months to get there and see what was taking place in Bethlehem. And so they arrive in Bethlehem and they ask that question. Now look at verse 3. So Herod, the Bible says, he heard these things. Well, he was troubled. He was troubled because if this was true and now that there was a king that was born there, that would be a threat to his power. So he became troubled by that. And so he gathers the priests all together. And he asks them this question. The scribes and the priests, he says, in fact, it says he demanded of them, well, where is the Christ? Where is the anointed one? Where should he be born? And so these priests and these scribes, they just quoted to him out of the Old Testament book of Micah, also written 600 years before Jesus was born. And if you look in your Bible, verse 6 is a quote out of the book of Micah in the Old Testament. And Micah had prophesied, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. So now they look again to the scriptures. The scriptures have undoubtedly drawn them. They followed the star. They're there to in Jerusalem. They asked the religious leaders, where is this going to take place? The religious leaders there, they tell them, well, this is what the scriptures say, that he would be born in Bethlehem. And I've always thought this before, again, by way of introduction. So here's Herod. He's demanding, where is this child born? Only because his power is being threatened. The only interest that he has in finding the Christ child is to destroy the Christ child. So Herod, to me, always represented people who oppose Christianity. And then the priests who identified the town, and Bethlehem at the time, it's just a little tiny know-nothing town. And so the priests here, the religious crowd, while Herod always spoke to my heart about those opposing Christianity, the priests always spoke to my heart about those who were ignoring the scriptures. They saw the star, but none of them, the scriptures tell us, traveled to Bethlehem. They just ignored it. But these Gentiles that had come from the east, they want to know what this is about. They're seeking the Lord. And so they travel down, and now we get into the heart of the message. So the heart of the message this morning is this. Now, it's not found in the Gospels, but the Apostle Paul quotes in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35, he says this. Now, here's the scene. Paul is going to be imprisoned, and he's going to be taken to Rome to stand trial. But before that, he's saying goodbye to the Christians, to the leadership of the church in Ephesus. And he reminds them of this. He said to them, "Fellows, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak." And then he said this, "And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus." Do you remember these words he says to them? How he said, and then he says this, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." And so I want you to think about that this morning. And I often put it this way with regards to giving. I often try to break it down and make it simple. So when you think about giving, there's three areas in our life that we can give. We can give with the talents that God has given us. He's given us all talents. Now, we're expecting to see Travis play the saxophone a little bit more in church. Now, we saw, so that's a talent, Travis, that God's given you. So we're waiting to, so he's given us all talents. Not all of us are musicians. Not all of us can teach. But there are different talents that God has given. In fact, the Bible teaches that God has equipped everyone with at least one talent, but whereby with to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can give God our talent. We give God our treasures. That's why we receive an offering on Sunday mornings. That's why we receive an offering from missionaries. Those are the treasures that God has given to us. We give back to God. We give our tithe we really don't give our tithe to the local church. When we give it through the local church, but our tithe is to the Lord. Our missions is to the Lord. And so you have when we're thinking about this message, we have our talents. We have our treasures, and then we have our time. We give time to the Lord. And so I want you to think about that, especially we're approaching 2018. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive our time, our talents, our treasures. And so we see that with regards to the wise men. They did all three of those things. They gave of their time, they gave of their talents, and they gave of their treasures. So let's look at these, and I'll do this quickly, but I've got 7 points that I'm going to put up on the screen one by one, and we're going to see how the wise men fulfilled all of these. So they've traveled far. They're tired. I'm sure they're exhausted from the travel. They have exhausted a substantial amount of resources to come and see the Christ child. Now, I should say this before we get any further. Probably, Jesus is not a babe at this point. He's probably somewhere, we're not sure, but we're sure that he's not in the manger. He's probably somewhere between 1 year old and 2 years old by the time that the wise men get there. Okay, that, by the way, one of the reasons that we assume that is because when Herod calls for the execution of every child in Bethlehem that's 2 years old and younger, every male child. And we're not going to get into that, but if you read a little bit further in the scriptures, that's how diabolical Herod became. I'm just going to kill every boy that's in Bethlehem, and that way we'll kill the king. That's why Joseph was told by the Lord to flee and get out into Egypt. So the wise men, they've exhausted time, they've exhausted a substantial amount of resources to get there. And I've always thought this, they didn't come expecting anything, to receive anything. They came expecting to give. And it's a beautiful picture too about ministry and the time and the talents and the treasures that God gives us. We should always come to the Lord not expecting to receive, but always expecting to give. The Lord is the one that gives back. But we should come expecting to give. Amen? Follow what I'm saying? All right. Now stay with me or I'll make you stand through the rest of the message here. I won't do that. So these 7 things. Look in our text here. So what happens? They come and look at verse 10. "And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy." So they came, and they came rejoicing. Rejoice. They were exuberant. This was an exciting moment for the wise men. There are exciting things that happen in our lives. I mean, some of you are big football fans. So you are excited when your team wins. Amen? Oh boy, I'll tell you, this is a rough crowd here this morning. Jim, stop taking pictures of me on your telephone, all right? Turn it off. Turn off the phones. If I preach a short message, you'll be more excited than if I preach a long message. I can tell this morning. So, my daughter's told me, don't stand outside of the pulpit, Dad. You've got static cling in your pants. Well, it's too bad. It's my hat. Anyhow, Ethan mentioned in Sunday school we had a little heating problem here yesterday. I would not use the word little to describe the heating problem that we had here. So our pipes were frozen here on Friday. Our couple of water lines were frozen. We put some heat on them, and we hoped that they would loosen up. I came in yesterday morning at 7:30, and at 7:30, those water lines, cold water in the bathrooms upstairs, and the hot water in the bathrooms upstairs, and the cold water in the bathroom downstairs were frozen. I walked into the auditorium, and as I walked into the auditorium, I could see my breath. So all of this heat was frozen in here. Went down into the downstairs fellowship room, and all the heat was frozen there. So that was at 7:30. I left last night about almost 7:30 last night by the time we got everything thawed out. I want to, again, thank Russ for helping, and I want to thank Aaron for helping, and we already mentioned Dennis. It was quite an ordeal, frustrating ordeal. So we were excited when we got the first water running, I guess around 10 o'clock. We were excited when we got the upstairs water running. That was about 12 o'clock. And we were having a time trying to get this. We didn't know what was frozen here. We didn't know. I mean, it was an experience. So we worked on it, and we were working on it, and all these radiators had to be pulled out, all the covers, and we had heat going, and trying to warm up the building, and I don't know, I guess it was about 1, I've lost track of time. It was about 1:30 in the afternoon, and I came upstairs, and Russ was working downstairs, and just to see if we got anything. We had a break in the pipe, we had to fix that, and anyhow, about 1:30, I think, I walked downstairs, and we just kept working out, and I said, Russ, I've got some good news, and he looked, and said, what's that? I said, we've got heat upstairs. We were excited, I can tell you that. That was a good deal. And so, that's what it means to be exuberant. It's 5 o'clock now at night, and we still cannot get the heat going downstairs. I think around 5:30, we finally got the downstairs heat working. And then we had the place was a wreck. We had ceiling tiles down, and we had to trace lines, and we were pretty exuberant around 5:30 as well. I was really exuberant about 9 o'clock. I got home, but I think about 7:30 I got home, sort of 7:45, whatever. Anyhow, Aaron said he'd come back at 9, make sure everything was working. So I'm laying in bed waiting for his phone call at 9 o'clock. It's all working, Dad. I said, good night, Louise. And I went to bed. I was tired. We were rejoicing. But, you know, that didn't happen except that there were some men willing to give their time. By the way, those men who gave their time, they probably saved this church $2,000 in plumber's bills and heating bills. At least two of us worked all day long to get the heating going. That's $75 per man. That's $150 per hour. That's 10 hours of work. That's $1,500, not including the labor to fix the pipes and bring in all the heaters and all that kind of stuff. See, I guess what I'm trying to say is that's what makes a church work. Time. I don't know how to solder pipes. Russ knows how to solder pipes. Talent. Got to go out and buy some heating system, what do you call it, kerosene power here. You know, while we didn't as a church spend $2,000 yesterday, we spent $250 and everything to have. The only way you can pay for that is if people give their treasure. So I'm so thankful that we have a church that most of you understand what it means to give of your time and of your talent and of your treasure. I'm so thankful that many of you've caught the vision of what it means to tithe and to give to missions. I'm so thankful. Because just figure it out. If we didn't have people who caught the vision in God's Word, what it meant to tithe, if everybody gave $5 or $10 or $15 per week, we'd have to shut the building down. And I'm just telling you what it is. I mean, there's only so many of us here. Understand what I'm saying? So people caught that vision, and if you haven't caught that vision, I hope and pray that you do at some point. But that's your time, and that's your talent, and that's your treasures. And the wise men understood that. These men had traveled for months to get there to see the Christ child. It's like our missionaries. They put 2 and 3 and 4 years of just traveling just to raise enough support just to get to the mission field. And they depend on us. And they rejoice. They were exuberant. What a blessing. It was both Russ and I, we were here the whole day, and we really feel bad for Dennis. He hurt himself early in the day, and Aaron was back and forth all day long. But I have to tell you, by the end of the day, I think I can speak for us as well. We were pretty whipped. But we were pretty happy. We saw it right to the end. Which one you came? That was rejoicing. And let me tell you, when I rejoiced again this morning when I got here about 10 to 8, and I opened up the door and the heat came through. In fact, it was so hot downstairs, we had it up to 94 degrees downstairs with all the heaters. But we had to, by the time the heat came on, we had to open all the doors and windows to cool the building down so the heat would come back on. But we rejoiced. But then I noticed this about them. Look at verse 11 in our text. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down. They were subservient. They fell down. You know, they didn't fall down when they stood before Herod, the king. And they didn't fall down when they stood before the religious leaders. But when they stood there with the Christ child, they fell down. They fell down, subservient unto him. You know, the Bible says in Romans 14:11, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. You know, there's a day that even those people like Herod, who opposed Jesus, or the priests who were the quote-unquote religious crowd, that every knee shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And these wise men had come rejoicing, but they came subservient unto the Lord. They saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down subservient before him. And then it says they worshiped him. They were reverent. They were reverent. What it means to worship, to show the Lord his worth, to reverence him and to adore him. And part of a service, a Sunday morning service, or whether it's a Sunday morning or a Sunday night or Bible study or Sunday school class, that part of that is to worship, to just show the Lord his worth. I mentioned this morning while I prayed that when we sing on Sunday morning, we're not really singing even so much to one another. When we lift up our voices, we're singing the hymns to the Lord. When the special music, we didn't have special music today, but if someone sings a special or plays a special on a musical instrument, it's not even so much to the congregation as it is first and foremost, it's to bring glory to God. That's worship. That's reverence before God. The Bible says in Psalm 89:7, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. To reverence him. It's a special time when we gather together to let God speak to our hearts. You know, I often pray this as well. I say part of worship, it is singing. But our worship is our tithes and our offering. And our worship is being attentive to the preaching of the word. How is God trying to speak to me? Am I giving my full attention to Him? Trying to block out the cares of the week behind us or the cares of the week ahead? You know, I know someone else that's here this morning and part of our worship service. They have lost their heat at home. So they're going to leave for service this morning and they're going back to a place that has no heat. It has to eat. In fact, they're heating their house right now with their oven. By the way, I appreciate their effort this morning. Because a lot of people say, I'm just going to stay home until I can get this fixed. And I'm not saying that that wouldn't be right or that wouldn't be wrong. I'm just saying, I just appreciate the fact that they're here this morning. Because by that way, that person has a talent that God has given them, and they use that talent in all of the services that we have here. We come out of an attitude of reverence to the Lord. And then they were benevolent. So in verse 10, they rejoiced, they were exuberant, they were subservient, they fell down before the Lord, they worshipped Him, and they were reverent before the Lord, but then they were benevolent. They opened their treasures. They brought their treasures to the Lord. Benevolence is using the time and the talents and the treasures that God has given you for others. In the sense that you're letting your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it's interesting too, but in verse number 13, Joseph has to flee to Egypt. God used these wise men to bring treasures to Joseph and Mary and the Christ child. These wise men were financing Joseph, Mary, and Jesus' trip to Egypt. God uses people. So they were benevolent. Use the time, talents, and treasures that God has given you in a benevolent way for others. And then they were attendant. They presented it to Him. They presented unto Him gifts. Personally. They're personally involved here. Attentive. Jesus said this, "If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." They understood that. They had gathered that. That's why all this was taking place. This, the wise men that came, by the way, we don't know how many there were. And a lot of people assume there were three because there were three gifts. This was not three men that had come from Persia. This probably would have been a whole entourage of people. Three men alone would not have, this caliber would not have traveled all the way from the east. They would have come with a large group, and that group would have needed to be financed as they came. But they came and they presented it. And they didn't send someone else, "Well, take these gifts." No, we want to do this personally. And then it says this, "And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod." So the Lord warns these men, don't go back to Herod. No, don't do that. And so they were compliant to the things of God. Isaiah verse 30 and verse 31 says, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it." But this would be is that on the screen? You got this first to go on the screen? Oh, that's too bad. I wish you could see this. In fact, take your Bibles and turn to the book of Isaiah chapter 30. You know, this would be a great verse for 2018. It's Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 21. If you really wanted to grab onto a theme verse for 2018, this would be it. In fact, maybe this will be our theme verse for 2018. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." That would be the Lord saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. Wow. That's what we should all desire, to hear the voice of the Lord telling us which direction to walk and to follow the Lord's leading. That's why these wise men came rejoicing. That's why they were subservient to the Lord. They fell down and they wanted to just be followers of the Lord. They were reverent before the Lord. They worshiped. They had opened their treasures. They were giving people. They presented to Him. It was a personal thing between them and the Lord. And then the Lord warns them and He tells them what to do and what not to do. And they did what they were told to do. That's great. You go back to where we started and we'll finish up. And so they departed, it said in verse 12. They were obedient. The Lord said, don't go back to Herod. They said, okay, we're not going to go back to Herod. They departed another way. They departed into their own country. And I love the last two words. Would you say those last two words in verse 12 of Matthew chapter 2 out loud with me? And they departed into their own country another way. Listen, whenever anyone has a genuine, biblical, Holy Spirit experience with Jesus Christ, you will leave another way. You will leave different. Because when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit now comes to reside and live inside of you. It's the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Holy Spirit living and residing inside of you that will cause you to rejoice. I have to tell you, all day long, Aaron in his Sunday school class was talking about people who have pity parties. I was not going to allow myself yesterday, as we are dealing with all these heating issues, to have a pity party. I didn't say it out loud. The only time we did thank the Lord out loud a number of times, each time, and we prayed throughout the day. But I can remember, everybody had to leave for a few minutes, and I was getting frustrated. So I just came into the auditorium, and I came to the altar here, and I just got on my hands and knees. I thanked God for the building. I thanked God for the ministry here. I thanked God for the things that He had done here. I just kept thanking Him. I was not going to allow the circumstances to dictate what was taking place. And I think it was about 45 minutes later, we have the heat going. We rejoiced and we thanked the Lord. Russ came in this morning. We were here having a cup of coffee. He said to him, Russ, we've had a lot of experiences in this old building, haven't we? We sure have. They're not always good experiences when you enter into them. But when you get through the other side, it's just another lesson that the Lord teaches us. We learn to trust Him. The wise men learned this. They understood this. They are a great illustration of what you and I need to be. Rejoicing people. Subservient, reverent, benevolent, attendant, compliant, and obedient people. John challenges us in 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's easy to praise God when everything's going right. It's not so easy to praise God when everything is going wrong. It's what I often think of as the crossroads of our faith. You know, you come to a crossroads, you have to decide at that junction, are you going to rejoice? Are you going to just trust in the Lord? Are you going to just be obedient and just fall down at His knees? Or are you going to let the circumstances take you down the wrong road? Oh, it's a challenge sometimes. And many of you have been through a lot of different challenges in your life. Losing heat in the building is not life's greatest challenge. It's frustrating. And you get weary and you get tired. Especially if you've been doing it for over 30 years. But on the other side, there's rejoicing. There's rejoicing. But I love that. I'll just finish with this again. I'm going to repeat myself, but they left another way. Listen, if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, listen, there is another way, and that's Jesus. This church doesn't exist because we are not a religious people, not in the sense that we often think of the word religious. Actually, there is a correct terminology for the word religion and being a religious people, but we are a relationship-oriented people. We have these magi came because they wanted to meet Jesus, even though he was just a little boy at the time. Maybe he couldn't even walk yet. But they wanted to meet with him face to face. And the majority of people in this room, at some point, they met Jesus face to face. Oh, not physically speaking, but they met him face to face, spiritually speaking. And they came to understand that they were sinners and that Jesus came into this world to die and to pay for their sin, and that he hung on the cross, and while he was hanging on the cross, all of this preacher's sin and all of your sin was placed upon him, and he was paying the debt that only he could pay. And one day, I was an adult at the time, I was 24 years old, one day all of a sudden it all came rushing home, and I came to realize just where I was, and I called upon Jesus to be my Savior. And that day I left another way. And I've never looked back. And many of you, there was that point in time that you could place to. Some of you were children, some of you were teenagers, some of you were adults, but there was a point in time, that day you got saved, and you left another way. You left rejoicing. And if you're here this morning and you have never received Christ, you can leave that way too. Because he loves you. He cares for you. He died for you. But you must admit that you're a sinner, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must believe that Jesus died and paid for your sin on the cross. And you call upon him by faith. No one goes to heaven because they attend church every day on a regular basis. No one goes to heaven because they've been baptized. No one goes to heaven because they take communion. No one goes to heaven because of... You go to heaven because you've received Jesus as your Savior. Amen? So if you're here today and you're trusting in anything other than a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, you're trusting in something that's not right. And I truly believe, too, that the Holy Spirit now is working, and there's a still small voice that's saying to you, that's right, person, whoever you might be. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He did it all for us. We worked hard yesterday to get heat back in the building so that we could come and worship this morning. So we could come and sit under the preaching of the Word. So we could be ministered to. So that maybe someone might come today that never heard about Jesus. And today they would, in the stillness of the moment, they cry out in their heart, Lord, I am a sinner. I do believe, Jesus, that you died and you paid for my sin. And I call upon you today to be my Savior. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Maybe that's you this morning. Have you called upon the Lord? You asked him to be your Savior? Right now. Right now. You can call upon him. Right where you sit. But you must, because the Scriptures, just like the Scriptures led the wise men to Bethlehem, the Scriptures have to lead you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Scriptures lead you. The Scriptures teach us. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous. No, not one. The Scriptures teach us that. But But the Scriptures also teach that God commendeth His love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for you. He looked at you in your sinful condition, and we all have a sinful condition, and He said, I still love you. I'm going to die and pay for your sin. The wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. But the gift of God, it's a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Whosoever shall call upon Him shall be saved. You must admit between you and the Lord that you're a sinner. You must believe that Jesus died and He paid for your sin. It's an act of faith. And by calling upon Him, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I believe, Jesus, You died and paid for my sin. I accept You today as my Savior. Lord, come into my heart. Help me to grow in my faith. In Jesus' name. So this morning, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you've never received Christ, and today you did. Maybe as I've even been speaking, you've been crying out to the Lord. Listen, would you do this if that's you? And I promise I'm not going to call upon you. I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I'm not going to come to you. But I would like to be praying for you. Maybe you're that one or that two or that three here this morning. You ask Jesus into your heart to be your Savior this morning. Would you just quickly put up your hand and put it down? Anyone at all? You know, Pastor, today I did that. I asked Christ into my heart to be my Savior. Anyone at all? I've never done that before, but today I did that. And then lastly, Christian, for you. Here's a challenge. How do you line up with the Magi, with the wise men, in those 7 points that I gave this morning? Your talents, your time, your treasures. It's a challenge moving into 2018. Are you as rejoicing today as you were when you received Christ as your Savior? Do you feel in your heart and in your life that you are subservient to the Lord, that you are willing to be and do whatever He asks you to do? Do you have a sense of reverence for the Lord and the things of God? Do you have that sense of benevolence like the wise men had? They opened their treasures unto Him. And they presented it unto Him. Are you attendant to the things of God in your personal and private life? Is there that compliance when the Lord asks you to do something that you're willing and ready to do it? And you still have that same sense of obedience as a young Christian that you once had? It's really amazing, but we note their faith. They had known Christ one day. He had performed no miracles. He was a helpless child, and yet they fell down and they worshiped Him. How about you? Father, we ask that You'd bless the invitation this morning. Speak to our hearts. Help us to remember the things that we've heard. Make application to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at MountGreylockBaptist.com.